Café Rollist is your caffeinated tabletop RPG break. It started as our exclusive Patreon show, but following a survey with our supporters, I am happy now to share its most recent episode here with you. If you enjoy this show, please consider checking out our archive of 100 or so additional episodes, which are still exclusive on Patreon.
Okay, is it working? I think it is working every day. Each time it's a new lesson. Welcome to our, I think it's our fourth, maybe fifth stream. And I am joined today by Anjali, who is charming, but I have not interacted nearly enough with you in real life. We barely saw each other at the podcast. And could you introduce yourself to the people watching us today?
Hello, everyone. I'm Anjali, geek girl bookworm online everywhere. I talk random stuff about RPGs, miniature painting, and general nerdy fun times. Yay!
Yay! So we've been talking quite a bit actually before the stream started. You were a bit there a bit early, and for once things were simpler on the OBS side for me. One of the things you were explaining is that you are completely isolated. You're alone at home. I'm in the somewhat opposite situation. I mean, I'm not in a house share, but I'm in a couple, and we got a 2 years old. So instead of being lacking stimulus, we got a sensory overload of what a 2 years old can do in an interior. I'm gonna need to repaint all those walls once we're over, and we're taking this moment gladly. Today he's sleeping, so that's a great rest.
Yay.
And so it's much easier for my wife to work and for me to stream a little. I guess to start with, you were telling me there's a lot of new vocabulary. So technically what I'm doing is social distancing, but you've been literally self-quarantining. Is that the way it's pronounced?
Yes, quarantined. Yeah. So I've been at home on my own for over 2 weeks now. So even before the lockdown, my office, we all decided that we were going to go and work from home because we could. We're only a small team and we work very close together. So if one of us was to get it, then we'd all get it. So we decided with a couple of us who have got also immune disease and asthma and things, we just all start working from home straight away. For most people, that's okay. Like most are in relationships or married. And I'm on my own. I moved to Nottingham in January. So I don't know a lot of people here. I know a few people, like mainly Wargamer types from like Games Workshop and stuff. I've been pretty much on my own. And I've got used to my company. It's the first week was horrible. I was like, I don't like this at all. But now I'm a bit like, well, I gotta just get on with it. I'm here on my own. I've got the birds. I can talk to my cockatiels, but that's about it.
Are you catching up with this legendary backlog of miniatures that needs to be painted before you can purchase anything new? So are you gonna go through that and paint everything?
I wish.
Finally, paint the last one and be like, yeah, no, I can go to the shop. I can order something.
It's never going to happen. Unfortunately, I have a whole room that is filled with unpainted miniatures. I don't think I'm ever going to finish painting up everything. I'm doing some in the evenings, but because I'm still working 9 to 5, I'm not painting sort of during the day at all. So I'm not getting to paint up all of my hobby stuff. But I am going to do some live streaming tonight because I missed Sunday's stream. So I'm going to do a little bit of painting tonight online, which would be very nice.
So actually you're in the category a bit like me when we are a bit somewhat jealous of, we're lucky I'm not working from home, but I'm taking care of my son. My wife is working from home, which is lucky in terms of income, but in terms of looking on the internet, on Twitter, to all these people catching up on shows on Netflix, playing Animal Crossing, There's very little time for us to do any of that.
Yes, yeah, definitely. I do get to play Animal Crossing in the morning. I get 30 minutes before work while I have my breakfast, play some Animal Crossing, and go to work.
I'm not playing Animal Crossing, but it sounds like a lot of work. You actually work for Tom Nook, which is a as far as I understand, a capitalist landlord of some kind.
He really is. He doesn't pay you, and you have to work for him for free. It's very stressful. I've got so many debts to pay off.
Is he running Sports Direct or Virgin or something like that?
He's definitely the Richard Branson of the Animal Crossing world.
So we were discussing a bit earlier about our concern. We both had plans for UK Games Expo this year. Hopefully we still have, but we don't really know where it's going. So, or are you dealing with that? I was also mentioning to you, so correct me if I'm wrong, because I might confuse things all the time, but I might confuse MCM, London Comic Con, and Expo. So Expo is supposed to happen in July now.
No, so MCM is happening in July.
Okay.
So yeah, there was the May. So both of them were happening on the same day in May. And then both were postponed. So MCM has been pushed back to mid-July. And then Expo is at the end of August. So 21st of August.
Well, we'll see how things go for Expo. But I was reading today that the Edinburgh Book Festival, which is supposed to take place in August, has been postponed as well or cancelled completely. So we'll see how it goes to Expo. MCM.
I was gonna say I'm also like so XL and also the NEC, which is where the two different events are happening. They'll be turned into field hospitals. So they probably come July. They're still going to probably be hospitals. And I don't imagine that will change till sort of the end of the year. So part of me is thinking that they're probably going to have to be cancelled. I hope not, but I'm having to put in contingency plans for if that should happen.
It's really mind-boggling to think of that and to see the videos and the pictures online. If people watching this haven't seen them, I recommend to Google them. It's very impressive, the work being pulled out by engineers, construction workers, and what do you call that, health specialist, turning the XL here in London in a field hospital, which they call the Nightingale Hospital. It's crazy seeing this place I've been to with so many Critical Role fans a couple years ago, and it's crazy. So what are your contingency plans there, and what did you add in store for this?
So if UK Games Expo goes on, then we'll be launching our newest books. So for anyone that doesn't know Aconite Books, we are part of Asmodee, which is the world's largest board game, card game, RPG distributor and creator in the world. And we are a small imprint publishing house through Asmodee. So we are writing novels set in a lot of the Asmodee-owned intellectual properties, Arkham Horror, Legend of the Five Rings, Keyforge, etc. And we are launching some of our new novels. It was meant to be in May, so just in time for UK Games Expo. But now Expo has been pushed back. We're actually going to push our whole launch back until September time. So we're hoping we'll be able to launch a couple of books at UK Games Expo with a small stall, possibly some author signing and things as well, which would be lovely if we could get that. And we're also going to do some panel interviews about turning worlds that already exist out there into novels. So taking an IP that already exists in the world and then turning it into a novel, how you can get around the canon that's already there and sort of increase and develop the lore that already exists for fans. So if we don't get to do Expo, I'm hoping we can still do those panels, but just online instead, through streams and such and the like. We're also going to try and do some Q&As with the rest of the publishing team and some of the authors, and just have maybe, yeah, just a little launch party, like in our own houses on our own. Just party poppers.
Yeah, well, we can still make it festive online. We can yeah, add filters, exactly. You know, when you have the face, yeah, of an anime deer of some kind or something like that. It happened to some priest in Italy. They were streaming a mass for the first time, and they forgot to switch off the Snapchat or Instagram filter. So I think it even happened in Iran, I think, like a very sort of grim meeting being broadcasted and the filter was on. Anyway, yeah, we were also supposed to have a panel at Expo about, tabletop role playing games and Dungeons and Dragons explained to parents. And, it will at least be taking place online if it's not taking place live. I need to get in touch with the expo team to see how things are, and maybe we can swap days. I was supposed to do that on Friday because I couldn't be Saturday because I was supposed to be at MCM Comic Con, but now that it's on different weekend, maybe you could do the Saturday for which there are more people. Provided, of course, it's still happening. One thing about that, I was telling you about that I wanted to take this opportunity to express my support to organizers of events anywhere and say, I mean, I understand the frustrations of fans on Twitter and on social media, but I would invite everyone to sort of to do what tabletop role players do well, as opposed to doing well, which is put yourself in somebody else's shoes and realize how much how difficult a decision it is to say, well, we're going to postpone or cancel. First of all, you're in complete unknown, and second, it's not just a decision for people attending, and it's no fun, and it's not like a thing. I'm correct to say that the people running events like that are not exactly making that much money, you know. They're not Disney, Marvel, there are a lot of jobs on the lines. There's the very survival of those events, which are linked to those decisions. So it's really tough, and there's probably insurance issues as well. So they cannot cancel before they're instructed to by the government, which was the issue with, for instance, hospitality, here in the UK, when the government advised to close, but did not give the instruction to close, which meant that, how does that work with my insurance? Because if I'm advised, I say, yeah, maybe I should. Your insurance is not running. So, yeah, it's a lot of very dramatic decision, at the same time, very nitty gritty, down to earth, things which are the reality of organizing something. But tell me about that law of your universe, because I'm not familiar with that. I've seen it on the counter at Bad Moon Cafe, but I never played the game.
So for what, Keyforge?
Yeah, yeah,
Keyforge. Is that the one you're after? Yeah, yeah, Keyforge. Yeah.
I mean, sorry, unless you want to react to what I was saying, I'm blabbering.
No, I think I agree. Like, I think it's been really difficult for people to make the decisions that they've had to make, and I think for a lot of smaller like game stores and things, it is a worry for them. Are they going to pay for this? You know, the UK Games Expo. Are they going to pay their deposits for their stands, and then it be cancelled? And it's going to be difficult for them to get their money back and things. And I think a lot of people are worried. And I know that I've had like some people contact me on Twitter and ask sort of what we're doing as Aconite, just because they're worried, and you know, we're small and they're small. I mean, as far as like we're concerned, we're planning ahead as if UK Games Expo is going on, and we'll just have to see like what happens. And just plan around that. But for a lot of smaller companies, I know it's a really big worry, because if they all drop out and then Expo doesn't go ahead, then who's to say if it will happen next year at all, if they lose up all their money? You know, the UK's biggest games convention could stop, and that would be incredibly sad. It's one of my favourite things.
And everyone organising anything at the moment is in that situation. I mean, it's kind of a sad discussion, but I just meant name drop Bad Moon Cafe, which is our local friendly yes. game store, which I'm so happy to have in my neighborhood. I don't know how they're going to deal with the situation. I don't know any restaurants in the area. I'm confident restaurants will at worst reopen, but I'm not sure it will be the one yeah. which used to be there. What's the situation of people there? I mean, I've never been involved in I hope all of these people won't have to go yeah. as far as having a bankruptcy situation. If it does, I hope their private savings are separate from the one from their company, but it's a complete unknown for so many people, and
it is really worrying. And because like within the RPG community, like most people I know and probably you know are all sort of self-employed people who are working doing the things that they love, and now are finding that it's drying up, and that's really worrying for me as well. Like seeing a lot of my friends who make miniatures and things not getting their online orders that they would be getting because other people are losing their jobs and things, and it's really scary. I am worried for what will come out at the other end.
So you're already seeing such a knock-on effect, because I would not expect but hope that because people are at home and a substantial number of them have now opportunities to work from home, they might be ordering miniatures to paint at home and have them delivered. But you already see your customers drying up on that.
Yeah, I mean, for me, as like I had to close my Etsy store down just because I couldn't get out of the house. There's no point in me keeping it open and not being able to paint anything because I was sick, and also not being able to go out and send the stuff. But other people I've spoken to, their orders are okay. They're not like drying up, but they can see that at the moment it's a novelty. Oh, at home, yeah, let's do some painting. But if this carries on for another month or two or three, then people are going to have not been working for a long period of time. There's not going to be a novelty. Savings are going to start drying up, and people are not going to be wanting to buy toys and things to keep themselves entertained. So, yeah, I think it's like, for a lot of my friends, it's a big worry.
Yeah, I wonder if, well, it's for my industry. I'm an architect, and when the situation happened, I was already unemployed, and my wife started to work from home quite early under the instruction of an employer, was quite wise there, and they did that worldwide. But I still got a call from a recruiter yesterday. I'm wondering if at some point my own industry will not exactly resume their normal activity, but will say, okay, we need to get back at working. It's just we'll do it differently, yes. which is working from home and hiring new people who will work from home from day one and will have almost no contact with, no person-to-person contact. So I'm curious to see how a number of industry will say, okay, this is the new normal until things change, and we'll get back at it. Because when I hear that this could last for 6 months, it's a historic moment, and we haven't been something like that as a civilization ever. So, So we'll see.
Definitely interesting times. Yeah.
Have you managed to find yourself a routine? Myself, I'm just starting this week. I know I started trying to exercise on my own. I was missing the gym. I'm not very good to self-motivate, but I did find the way to do it. And I got the streams every 2 days. How do you manage your day-to-day activities besides Animal Crossing in the morning?
I make sure I get up at exactly the same time as if I was going to the office. Luckily my office normally is only a 20-minute walk away, so it's not that far, so I don't get up that early. But yeah, I just give myself the walking time. I do my Animal Crossings because that's my spare time, and then I work and I take my lunch at the normal time, and then at 3 o'clock I go out. There's a park just down my road with a duck pond, So I go down, walk down to the park, have a couple of laps at the park, feed the ducks, and and then come back and work for a couple more hours. And then, yeah, depending what the day is, I do some painting or some streaming. My routine is pretty much the same. I've never been to the gym, so I don't miss that. I do miss going to Warhammer World for they do a workshop, a painting workshop every other Thursday, but Warhammer World is closed, obviously, so can't do that. So I've had to, some of the people that I know there, we did a painting stream the other day where we all went online and sort of just like we're painting our own things, but just had someone to chat to while we were doing it. And that was really nice.
So was that public? Is it Warhammer? So it's the people from Warhammer World get banding together to have a virtual meetup instead of the physical one?
Yeah, it was you know, offline. It was just people that I normally would see there, and we just all just Skyped in with each other and just chatted and showed off what we were painting and just carried on. There was no, like on my stream, I've got like my drop down camera so you can see what I'm painting as well as my face. This was just our faces. And just like hold up, I'm really like, ooh, look at this. but it was just nice to have people to talk to whilst you're painting, because like it is a lonely hobby most of the time, which is why I started streaming, because I was like, I need to talk to someone whilst I'm doing this. I'm so alone. But yeah, that was a really nice thing. So hopefully I can keep doing that and catching up with people that way.
So you were supposed to be at my table one evening on Roll 20, and you gave me a rain check last minute, which is terrible. Have you played any other table online role playing games?
I have not in the last 3 weeks, just because I've been sick. But I play on Scrat's channel quite a bit. Scrat's
cool.
Academy. Yeah, I do. I did a couple of campaigns with him, and I've done a lot of jumping in. I've done some DMing with him. I have a couple of offline online games, so we don't stream. We just hang out together. But we are starting a stream of Tales from the Loop, I think, next week, which will be quite fun. And we're streaming that one. I get to play a popular girl, which is going to be a big task for me to be the popular
girl. Come on,
nasty,
you're a popular girl. Dragon means people wanted to meet you.
No, but at school, I was not a popular girl. I was a terrible nerd who no one wanted to talk to. So I don't know how to act like a popular girl who's 15. I was hiding in the art corridor, waiting for everyone to go home so I didn't get things thrown at me.
Oh.
That's going to be fun. But yeah, I haven't had much else, actually. Because
well, it sounds like quite a lot already.
For me, it's not. Like, normally I have a couple of in real life games going on and a couple of other online games, or I'm planning something or writing something. And since I moved to Nottingham, it sort of fizzled out a bit because, like, I don't know anyone in order to have in house games. So, yeah, it's a little, upsetting in that respect. But yeah, I will get some more games in, I'm sure, now that I'm feeling better and, in need of company.
Well, I will be running, again, Cats of Cthulhu, and hopefully this time you'll be able to join. And I should be even better, because I had a practice run now, so with two amazing players.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I feel so bad. I was so sick. I'm really sorry.
I know. I mean, it's fine. I mean, you literally had COVID-19, so I mean, what better rain check could it be? I mean, if you made up that excuse, it's very bold of you, but does anyone in the chat room, we got a few people in the chat room, which is awesome, does anyone in the chat room would have questions, because it was advertised as a ask me anything, so people go ahead and ask it, because people have been discussing the quality of my bandwidth, which is terrible. So if you watch that on YouTube, it should be much better, because it's recorded directly by OBS on my computer. But if you're watching it right now on Twitch, it should be something like very no questions.
Ask us questions. Even if you don't get the answers now, you can watch it on YouTube and get the answers.
In the meantime, you mentioned Tales from the Loop. I think it's a good time to yeah. stream a game because there's a show coming, I think. Or is
there
it
is,
out?
Yeah, I'm really. I think it's next week, maybe? Amazon? I need to check. I'm really excited about that. Because last October, I went to Essen with Free League. I worked with them for a week. Sort of worked on their stand with them and hung out with them for the week. It was really, really cool. And they were talking about the Tales from the Loop TV show and like how much like sort of time and money and like Amazon had put into the show and how they really want it to be like the art books and be like the role play game. And they'd worked really, really close with Free League for it. So I think it's going to be really good.
So they did work with Free League because I remember, I'm not super aware of the history of Tales from the Loop, but there was the art and there was a role-playing game and the person who did the art from who the original idea emerged, made novels, and apparently that artist, which I can understand, I'm not judging, but he was a bit frustrated that when the announcement for the TV show were coming out, people would say, oh, it's based on the role-playing game. And he would say, no, it's based on my novels and my art. Yeah. It's not based on the role-playing game. I'm the creator of all of that.
Yeah, people sort of didn't realize that I've got the art books. I've had the art books for years. They're beautiful. And that's when Tales from the Loop came onto Kickstarter. I was like, I know that artwork. And I was really excited for Tales from the Loop because of Simon's artwork. The art books themselves are like, it's like a diary of his life in growing up in Sweden with these loops, these scientific, much like the roleplay game follows, these loops that are built in the town and they allow certain technological advances. He sort of talks about it in the same way. And he's done these beautiful oil paintings based around photos of his own youth, and he's just added robots and things into them and made them a bit strange. The TV show is going to be based on both the art books and also the role play, because he's Niels, who writes the role play books, has had a lot of input into it as well. So
it's cool. I guess it's a bit of a situation like my good old Star Wars D6 from West End Games, which they develop a lot of stuff after the release of the three original Star Wars movies, which were then used as the Bible for people writing official novels for Star Wars, and then later on even the movies. Like, The Force Awakens, I was happy that there was mention of the model of the Millennium Falcon, which was actually I knew created for the roping game, so I was like, oh, they went to their sources, fine. Or at least there's a chain of events which made that thing show up in things. I could Disney Plus also at the moment. There's a lot of stuff to watch there. It's a bit weird. There's a lot, and at the same time, it's oddly specific. I mean, of course, it's Disney, but it's kind of missing. I don't know. I was hoping there would be a bit more Fox stuff. Like, you won't find the Alien movies or the production from Fox Studio over there. It's still very family friendly focused, and even if you have the Marvel, which are slightly more adult. I finally watched Captain Marvel with my wife, and I was very happy she enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm currently going through it and watching them all in chronological order. So
chronological, start with First Avenger or chronological of release?
First Avenger. So I started in the 1940s.
Nice.
And then did Captain Marvel in the 1990s, and then Incredible Hulk, both Iron Man 1, Iron Man 2, Thor. I don't know what's next. I need to check my list. But yeah,
I would probably get
I'm
Hulk
working my way through them.
Yeah, apparently Hulk is set after Iron Man 1, which was a bit confusing.
So there was some debate. Someone said like it's disclosed time frame. So like a couple of websites put it before and a couple put it after. So I just went with before. But yeah, I'll just do it now.
Are you excited for one of the TV shows they're going to release? Is there one which interests you most? WandaVision, Falcon, and the Winter Soldier, these sort of things?
I don't really watch the Marvel TV shows. I started trying to watch S.H.I.E.L.D. and I sort of watched a little bit and then got bored of it. And I haven't watched any of the other ones at all. I like the film.
Yeah. I think the new show is going to be much closer to the movies. At least that's the plan, and maybe a bit more, not essential, but interesting to watch. I think they will take more stuff from those new TV shows into the actual movies. That's the plan. But Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I didn't watch all of it, but I remember season one, I found on probably IO9, there was a list of the episodes you should watch. And it was I don't know, a third of maybe 50% of the episodes, and the others you didn't need to watch it. And it really helped watching it, because there was a lot of, it's long seasons. It's 22 episodes, and there's a lot of padding in there. It's a bit annoying. Still no question. We got people, but nothing. Maybe they ask me anything. They got bored by bandwidth and they left. I don't know.
Why. Oh no!
I don't see where. OBS doesn't tell me how many people there are or users in chat. Let me check. I'm learning.
Well, I can happily talk about keyboard for a little while.
Come on, Axel _ Roll, Commander Root, and Lurks. You probably have questions. Don't be shy. We lost Simmet. But,
Well, one of the things I'm working on is...
Yeah, Keyforge.
My Keyforge one shot. So, Keyforge is a new-ish card game created by FFG and also the guy that... I forget his name, something Garfield, who created Magic the Gathering. So he designed a new card game called Keyforge, where every deck you buy is a unique deck. So no two decks are the same. It's not like deck building, like with Magic, where you gather lots and lots of cards together and build your own deck. This is, you buy a pack, the deck that you buy in the pack is your deck. You don't get to swap cards in and out. So they should, in theory, all be balanced. Some play better than others against particular decks. And it's set in the Crucible. And the Crucible is this weird hodgepodge planet where the Archons, who are like the gods, have grabbed the bits they found most interesting of all the different planets in this universe and smushed them together in this big planet. So you can be walking along the Crucible and it be very metropolitan, and then all of a sudden it will change into this swampy area without any warning, because you've crossed over the line to the next bit of a planet where it's been smushed in and it was a swampy planet. So it's a very strange world to live in, and you get little hints of what the world's like on the Keyforge cards. There's like, you know, the little filler bit, like with Magic the Gathering, there's, so it tells you a little bit about the world, but not a lot. They decided to write an RPG called The Secrets of the Crucible, which is using the Genesis FFG system that they use for Star Wars and things.
Cool.
And yeah, so they use that system, and they've written a whole book about the different factions that are there, the different worlds, different settings, creating your characters and things. So you can run an RPG in the world of Keyforge. And we have used that book, Aconite Books, to create a anthology of Keyforge short stories with authors from like the Black Library and such, to create fun, silly, fantastical short stories using the RPG. And it's really good fun. And you can request a review copy should you want one. Just ping a message over to Aconite Books on Twitter and I'll get that sorted for you. But yeah, I'm going to be writing for our launch a one-shot that's sort of based in one of the worlds that the authors have already created for the anthology. Hopefully be able to play it in person, but if not, we'll play it online with some of the authors and some people from the community, and we'll just have a silly fun time playing some Keyboard, which are I'm really excited about, because it's this daft place full of anything can happen, and I'm really excited for the silliness to to come along. Yay!
So it's, the world is a bit like a quilt blanket. Yes. You got patches from different worlds. So you could be a Iron Age level or even Stone Age level of civilization or lack of civilization and show up and become next door is a high tech Star Trek level of technology and you're Guntar, the barbarian.
It's exactly. Yeah. So yeah, there's different groups that live in different, like will stay in different worlds, but there's like, there's really good dynamics between some of the different factions of alien that live on this planet together, which have made for some really good storytelling. And there's one story which I love. It's about so the idea is that within the Keyforge, the game, you're sending you're sending your particular faction out to destroy the other faction and win points and impress the Archons, the gods. And so one of the stories written was about a LARP. And so these people, this group of LARPing, like beardy old men, just they reenact the Keyforge card battles in the Crucible. And they get sucked into it real life. And so they're really ill-equipped for fighting in this Crucible, but they get stuck in it and they have to, they have to do all the defeating. And I just love that it's in a LARP and then just these old guys with like sticks and then they have to try and defeat people. It's really funny.
It reminds me of a saga I need to finish in a novel. I think the author was named Joseph Farmer and it's called Riverworld. And it was limited to the human civilization and history, but the concept was that you had this world with this big, long river. And one day everybody wakes up along it, stark naked, but it's all the human beings who ever lived who show up there. And apparently this kind of, it's probably put there by some aliens, but you have a corner with Slavic individuals from the 4th century. There's weird mixes when they, on purpose, they mix people from different ages. You got clusters. Usually you got a large cluster of people from a certain era just next to a smaller cluster of people from a different place in the world and time. And this river passed through it. So if you follow the river, you encounter all those crazy people. And of course, in the novel, you would run into famous people from all true history who had a chance to interact with one another.
Yeah.
We got the RPG Academy who thank you so much. They are hosting us and they got some question. We got some from the faculty who was asking us which free league game do you think is the best of them all?
Oh, I think they know that I love Free League and I can't choose. I do love Tales from the Loop. And I feel like I should say, as I was a playtester for Alien, I do really like the Alien RPG. My name is in the book. I'm very excited.
Did you play both one-shot and campaigns? I'd be very curious to play the campaign.
I've not played it as a campaign. I've only played it for the cinematic one-shots. And that works so well. I don't even know how you might play it as a campaign. I haven't actually read the book through as a campaign, but I love the cinematic element to it because it has to end in three acts. And so you have to push people along and everyone knows that they're probably going to die because you know there's an alien somewhere. You just hope you don't you're not the first one to open the door where the alien's sitting. But every time I played it, the first one, I was the only one that survived. That was good. And then the other times I've played it, I've always died at least twice. But I had so much fun with it. You can die in glory and come back as another character, and it's absolutely fine.
Okay, I was wondering if you had a kind of a alien resurrection type of situation when they brought you back as the clone with mixed DNA with an alien.
Oh, maybe. There's definitely an expansion, I feel.
This movie's got a bad rap. I haven't seen it in a while, but I thought it was okay. It was written in part by Joss Whedon, and you can definitely tell there's a Firefly flavor to it, and it had a French director. Yeah. I liked Alien Resurrection. I mean, compared to most Alien versus Predators thing. Yeah, I played Alien once. It was mastered by Jonathan from the London RPG community, who takes charge of our newsletter. Hello, Jonathan, if you're watching this. And yeah, it was very good fun to play. I believe we played the one shot, which is included in the core book. Was that written by the team of the Effect podcast?
Yes, that was Matthew and Dave. Yes, who Matthew ran one of the playtests when we were doing the playtest, so he did all the playtesting, GMing. So I was in his group for that because he used to live like around the corner from me, but now I've moved away.
It's very cool.
I've been on their podcast a few times.
It's very cool, the synergy with this podcast, which is very dedicated to Free League and Free League, and having Matthew and having the two of them run the stand at Dragon Meat. But Free League, I mean, they got so much now, and they got more coming up. I always confuse them a bit with Modifius, which I know is a bit annoying for people.
Because Free League, so Modifius used to sell Free League stuff. That's why.
We got Tales from the Loop, we got Mutant Year Zero, we got Alien.
Yep.
We got something else.
Things from the Flood, Simba Room,
of course.
Simba Room, which Forbidden Lands.
Yeah. Forbidden Lands looks very cool. I would really like to try this.
Yeah, I like Forbidden Lands. Yeah, that's fun. I did a game of that last year, UK Games Expo as well. That was good. So they've got the Crusader Kings board game. And then they have the Tales from the Loop board game that's coming onto Kickstarter soon. And they have Vassen, which is the new RPG that was kickstarted at the end of last year.
I think they announced something with a license also not too long ago. I don't remember what.
Oh, yes. It's gone.
It's not Dune, because that's Modifius and Guildford Knights, but Free League.
It's the Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings. And they're going to keep the system of the previous edition of Lord of the Rings, of One Ring, which I thought was a good news. It's a bit of a pity for Cubicle 7, which are awesome people, but at least they're keeping the original the rules, because I really like this rule system. Have you ever tried One Ring?
I've not played that one before, but
it's really nice.
It's been on my list.
I really liked playing it. It somehow managed to get the feel of you're not playing Dungeons and Dragons, you're playing in the Tolkien books, and there's this feeling of it's about travel it's funny, it's about the psychology of characters, or you support one another, and there's nothing like mentions of depressions of this sort of, like literally, but it's very close to those ideas. How do you keep the spirit of everyone in the group up, and how it goes down this darkness? It's funny how it's emotional and psychological without staring at it directly. It's an indirect thing which is going on. So Tom, are you happy with your opinions?
It's been on my list.
Are you happy with your opinions on Free League, or you got more questions?
Ask us more questions. What else am I doing at the moment? Yeah. My day is mainly just planning stuff. That is all I'm doing. I'm currently writing up the newsletter to announce some exciting, shiny new stuff with the books.
Any scoop?
No, I'm not allowed to. I'm really not allowed to say some of them. Just like, we have some new IPs that we're picking up that are non-Asmodee. So we do have a license with Marvel to write official Marvel books.
Really?
And that has been announced. So I can say that. but I'm not allowed to talk about what the books are about, but we have them coming out from September. So we need to just talk to Marvel and then we'll do a big press release about them.
Ooh, but yeah, I got so many questions. I'm wondering so much about. I mean, it's interesting because Marvel, as far as I know, it's not the copyright is not fragmented as much as it used to be. So if I'm making just wild assumption, if you are in touch with Marvel, it could be literally the MCU, could be the comics, it could be could be loads of things. That sounds very exciting.
We also signed a deal with Dark Horse Comics yesterday. So we are doing art books for Arkham Horror and Keyforge and all of the Asmodee sort of IPs. We're doing big art books with them as well, which was just announced. So that's very exciting too. Yay! We've been using our time wisely the last couple of weeks. Office distractions.
I was thinking it's quite interesting that Keyforge now having a role-playing game, and in parallel, Wizard of the Coast is turning Magic into a setting for Dungeons and Dragons. And it also, on the other end, it reminds me of a lot of RPG publishers going into the realm of board games because they are more valuable. It's quite interesting all this synergy going on between products and them crossing novels, comics, board games. Although, from what I heard, TSR was not very lucky with comics back in the days. But so when your work involves all those different platforms at once, when you work on the PR of them?
So we're working on the board games, the card games, the RPGs, the novels, and I'm doing all the marketing, publicity and promotion for like all of it. And I'm so glad that I'm in this job because I get to just nerd out about all of the things that I love. And we play board games at lunchtime when we're allowed to see each other. We have like lunchtime board games. And everyone's just, we're all just like super nerds who like to talk about these weird fandoms. Just very lucky, that I fell into, this job. Yes, it's very good. Yeah.
I don't know if those things would be classified, might not be the right word, but do you know if there are any surveys regarding how often people cross from one platform to another? Like someone who just into fantasy novels and science fiction novels reads the Keyforge novels and then at some point thinks, oh, well, I might try the card game as well, or I might try the role-playing game. I'm curious how much transfer is going on, and if you actually, I assume you are proactive trying to encourage people to make this search of transfer.
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely, in regards to the novels, like the Arkham Horror and things, we're definitely focusing, our main focus is the fans that already exist for the games. So I've been in contact with a lot of Arkham Horror podcasters and Facebook page managers and events coordinators for those that particular game and for Keyforge, and sort of getting the word out to them. That's been our main sort of push. Like, hey, you love this game, and maybe you want to read a book about it as well, and sort of sending them free review copies and stuff like that, to get them excited, because they're the people that we need to get excited about these things. But because we haven't actually released any books yet, there's no like actual data for how much of that is what we think it is. So hopefully by the end of the year, we'll be able to see people who play the game, podcasts and things, reading it and liking it and wanting to buy the next one, so we can build up some sort of data. But I imagine that, especially with role players who we know already are people who like to read, that hopefully it will entice them. Like the Arkham Horrors, even if you, I mean, there isn't an Arkham Horror role-play game, but if you're into like Call of Cthulhu and that Lovecraftian horror, that's what they are. They're based on the Lovecraft world, but you know, not sexist and racist, but just scary.
You said something, it brought an idea on. I just remembered actually Asmodee, it's I think it started as a role-playing company because one of my favorite French, you know, when I started role-playing, French publisher was something called Siroz Team. So S-I-R-O-Z, team, which, among other things, I think they were very involved in the equivalent of White Dwarf or Imagine for France, like the main tabletop RPG magazine, which was Casus Belli, back then. And their team was running a lot of, they were writing a lot of the adventures, which were the central bit in the magazine, which you could literally pull off of the magazine to run your adventure. And I think at some point they ended up having the licensing rights to sell the Pokemon trading card game in France. And they made so much money, and that when they became Asmodee, or at some point just after they became Asmodee, and they become this gigantic player in the board gaming company. Siroz Team.
A small French publishing house, and then moved on from there to.
I'd really like to make a special Derailleurs podcast about the Siroz Team and with some old people. The problem with the French is always finding people who were there of the right generation, but they're French and they would have to be fluent in English, which not always possible. I remembered now what I was thinking as you were explaining. What I find a bit fascinating in terms of dynamics, and it's funny we're talking about Marvel and they got somewhat kind of the same situation, is how when we, from a little bit of inside knowledge I've got about Wizards of the Coast, is that Dungeons and Dragons, despite being these huge things in role-playing games, is actually not profitable compared to the other activities of Hasbro. So I would assume when you're a publisher like Asmodee, something like a Keyforge role-playing game, when you look in your little spreadsheet, in your columns, you see, what is that thing? It's not making that much money. And I was hearing something about Marvel saying, okay, they're making all this money with those movies, Marvel and their toy lines and so on. But when you look at the comics themselves, it's not a business which is making a lot of money, but it's a place where you develop ideas and you develop new stuff. So, what do you think of that?
Yeah, I think it's the place where you make the fan and then the fan wants the other things. They can have this small cheap thing that they can just collect on their own, but if they want, then there's so much more that they can branch out into. I think that's the same for what Wizards of the Coast is for Hasbro. In the UK especially, the Hasbro office for Wizards of the Coast is tiny, though they do have a giant unicorn. They do have a My Little Pony that's vomiting a rainbow, and that is the best thing ever, and I wanted to steal that when I saw that.
They're not even doing the My Little Pony role-playing games. River Horse is doing.
No, that's River Horse, and River Horse are here in Nottingham.
River Horse will be on our tabletop role-playing game Explained to Parents soon at UK Games Expo. Or online. Was there any question of that at Asmodee? Why do we bother with a role-playing game for Keyforge while we don't expect to make any money compared to the trading cards?
I think it's probably for that same reason that Hasbro do it, is that it will bring a new group into it. Like, there are people who play the Keyforge game. I don't like the Keyforge. I don't like card games. So they don't interest me, so I don't play them. I know how to play them and I know what they're about, but like, for me, I want to know the backstory of some of the characters that are on the cards. So for me, a roleplay book is perfect because it will give me that background that I need. And then I may become interested in playing the card game because I know more about the different factions. And therefore I will start having my favorites and I'll want to play Keyforge. And the other way as well, if you're playing the card game, you might then be like, oh, maybe I'll start expanding my knowledge a bit and playing the role play game. And I think it's a stepping stone, I think, for the wider sort of game, as it were. Like with the Star Wars that's the same system. The RPG probably doesn't make a huge amount of money, but people will buy it. But then they might be interested in buying the X-Wing miniatures game, and they might be interested in Legion and all the other Star Wars things that FFG own. And so, yeah, I think that's probably...
Oh, if you could pass a message, if you could pass a message for me to Asmodee and the FFG team, there's a ship from the old role playing game, which I assume they got the rights to, which is sorely lacking in the X-wing miniatures and the new beautiful art which is being made is the G-Truck 720. So. G-H-T-R-O-C 720, which was the standard ship for most role players, and had one 3D printed, because you cannot find the proper X-Wing miniature. That would be awesome. And sometimes they seem to be running out of ideas, in terms of what to do in miniatures, because it's not extensive. Is that the next step also to get you interested in Keyforge? So first the role-playing game, then the miniatures. Do you think that there could be a miniature battle game there?
Oh, if they did that, I would definitely be interested in that. I would want that, and I would want the terrain for it. The terrain would be amazing. Yeah.
Well, you need to slip it.
Next
to my suggestion for a ship, you can slip it in the idea box. Put a post-it in it saying, we could do miniatures with Keyforge. Miniatures are a lot of money. It's great.
Because we got the other day a sample of a Keyforge cuddly toy, and it's like this little octopus baby thing. It's the cutest thing in the world. As soon as Andy walked into the office with it, both me and Lottie were like, "That's ours!" And we like pounced at him, and it's like, "Oh, baby!" It's the most adorable thing. I don't even. It's like a Gruen or something like that. I don't know what a Gruen is, but I had to Google it. it's adorable, and if they could do miniatures of those things, I would be all over those.
So would that be your first choice for a miniature? What would be your first five miniatures you would have developed for Keyforge?
I like the Martians. I think they're quite interesting. So a couple of Martian scientists.
Are they like old-school Martians like Mars Attacks? Or?
They're a little bit Mars Attacks, yeah. And they have that mentality as well. they're very one-track mind, sort of science-based, and a little bit like just kill all humans. Trying to think who would be the most interesting to paint. Let me go to my... I have the Secrets of the Crucible book. Selecting a Species. Oh, yeah. Or the Saurin, they're quite cool.
How would you do it? Would it be armies or something, I don't know, a bit more like, what was it called? Heroclix?
It might be a bit like Legion, like Star Wars Legion, in that way that you have the two sides, maybe be able to expand it out and you could have like more than two people playing it. That would be quite fun. You could have like four different people playing four different particular armies based on a different area of the Crucible, and maybe scenarios that you play out, which then might affect the next scenario and the way that you build your world. So it has a little story element to it. That would be really fun. I would enjoy that a lot.
It would sell beautifully on Kickstarter.
Yeah, I'm going to put this forward and then be like, this is going to be amazing. You should owe me some money. Silicons are cute. I like the silicons.
It's documented now. If anyone is getting rich with this idea, I need a cut of that. It can be a minor cut.
Or at
least a review on iTunes. Please give me a 5-star review on iTunes.
Cut the money. Oh, a good review on iTunes. That's all we need. Yep. Yeah.
So what was your second faction?
I like the Silicons.
Silicons? That sounds interesting.
So they are like like sort of druidic, made of the earth. And they have lots of crystals growing on them. So they would be, just be really fun to paint because you get to do a lot of like glowy effects on the crystals and things, and that they would be fun. And they're quite short and stubby. They're like little rock gnomes, but actually made of rock. I think they would be cute. And a Sauron is like a lizard person. Saurian even, yeah. So yeah, lizard people, they're fun. Yeah, sort of dragonborn-esque. I think they would be one that I would definitely like to paint up. I think who else? Also, maybe the humans, they're like the newest alliance on the Crucible, but they have really cool like space armor and stuff, so they might be quite fun to paint up. So especially if you're into like Warhammer and stuff, they'd be a good army to create.
You need to go get have a grab of those Games Workshop shares of Warhammer. You need a...
Yeah, exactly.
That's where the money is.
Very nice. Yeah. Well, I mean, so the Andy and Mark, who are the top people with Aconites and Asmodee Entertainment, so they used to work for Games Workshop. So Mark started the Black Library novels, Mark Gascoigne. He did that, and that was really cool. And then... yeah, him and Andy have worked for Games Workshop for years, so we steal a lot of knowledge from that. And that's what we're trying to do with Aconite, is make it its own Black Library, but, you know, better and nicer and cooler and fun.
Cool. Yeah. Amazing. Well, it's been an hour already. Thank you so much. And Julie, do you have anything else to plug and maybe tell people where they can find you?
Yeah, I'm Anjali. You can find me online everywhere as Geek Girl Bookworm. However, I have a link, which is linktr.ee/geekgirlbw. I put it in chat as well. I will put it in chat. Yeah, you can find me there. That's everything. My Patreon, my Etsy, my Twitter, Facebook, all of the things that you could possibly want a miniature painter to have. I have them. I do commission work as well. So if you have a Hero Forge mini you want painting, I can print it for you here, I can paint it, and I can send it to you.
Wow, that's so cool.
Yeah, so I have a resin and a filament printer, so I can print it in resin, paint it, and then get it in the post, and I'll save monies as well. Yay.
Cool.
But yeah, hit me up.
Awesome. Well, yeah. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you everyone who watched this, listened to this, threw a few questions or re-hosted us like the very awesome The RPG Academy. if it's the only show you've watched, we've got a main show called The Rollis Podcast, which you can find on any Apple Podcast, Google, Spotify. We are everywhere, easy to find. It's a show which, we are the show of tabletop RPG fans across the channel, the pond, and beyond. We've got the release presents, which are panel, hosted on Twitch, and sometime live. We've got the RPG Academy film studies, in which we review a movie, but through the lens of tabletop role-playing games with different hosts each time. And this show, Café Rollist, at first was a strictly for people supporting the show via Patreon show, and I think this one will be episode 89, and only the four or five last of them were available on YouTube, on Twitch, because others were recorded in person. So if you enjoyed this kind of informal discussions, and usually they were even more informal, you can get them through subscribing in our Patreon. And I'm not a professional YouTuber, so I don't have the button with the subscribe or anything, but please do subscribe, leave a like, leave a comment, do these sort of things that cool kids do on YouTube. And if you're even more curious and even more of a cool kid and you're bored at home, you can join me on TikTok as well, where I engage in embarrassing myself and a lot of cringe. So
yeah. I haven't been enjoying those.
Oh really? Have you? Are you on TikTok?
Yeah.
I feel so no,
right. Well, I have an account. I don't know how to use it. I'm too old and not cool enough.
I need to add you on TikTok. I feel so alone on there because there's a lot of people. It's kind of a feature. It's funny. There's a lot of people there, but it's a bit complicated to get in. So you still feels intimate. You can do.
Yeah.
You can dance in your PGs and nobody will realize, except a few thousand people who you will never run into. Anyways, that's the sort of content you will find on my TikTok. And now I've got I'm about to post a video with OCs, so original characters. I'm putting on sort of makeshift costumes. It's bonkers. Thank you. And it's impossible to, if you see a video on Twitter, it doesn't work because the humor is about repetition or things. It's complicated to explain. Just get on there and for a few hours you'll be like, I don't get any of this. And after 48 hours you will be completely addicted to it. So, and I look forward, and Julie, now I need to see your first TikTok. You need to go there and do something.
I need to do one. I'll work out something.
You can do something like, I'm trying to do things by filming my RPG books. Maybe you could do something filming your miniatures and have them talk to one another. Ooh. That could be cool.
Yes.
You know?
I'm playing a Gloomhaven game at the moment and I painted the miniatures and I've given them backstories and everything.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of...
Some guy on Twitch got very upset with me because I did not follow the rules. I was like... He was like, stop it, just play the game.
What you could do, like... I know. I've never seen that one... On TikTok. Anyway, it's, you don't explain jokes. You just go there and see that. You could do a, know you're not following the rules. Yes, I know. And use the song from TikTok. Anyway, thank you so much again, Anjali. Thank you so much, everyone. Stay home. Wash your hands. Stay safe. Reach us on Twitter if you need someone to chat with. We'll be happy to. I assume you will be to do so, Anjali.
Yes.
That's it. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Our logo is designed by Roland Kunz. Our theme song is Playtime by Jazar, which you can download on the Free Music Archive. A video version of this episode is available on YouTube. Please consider subscribing to our channel there. Leave us a review on your favorite podcasting platform. If you would like more Café Rollist, you can also get access to our archive of 100 or so additional episodes via Patreon. If you want to be informed of everything released by the Rollist, we have a monthly newsletter for you to join. And if you want to contribute via the chat room to one of our recordings, subscribe to our Twitch channel and social media accounts to be informed of when streams are happening. Finally, links to everything I just mentioned can be found in the description of this episode. Thanks for listening to us, and remember, you are the Rollist.